Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Human for Hire, Cell Block Orion, Collateral Damage Included, by T.R. Harris. Narrated by Keith Sellenwright. Chapter 1. The alien known as the Human now stands before this tribunal, having been found guilty of the crime of murder without circumstances. Your sentence will now be pronounced. You shall be interned in the Malx prison for a term no less than your natural, unnatural, or transformative life, without the possibility of reconsideration or commutation. You have committed the most grievous crime on Noranin, and shall now suffer the maximum consequences for such a heinous act as proscribed by our law. Officers, remove the prisoner. Adam Kane had worse days, but at the moment he couldn't remember when. And as the native judge slammed an oblong stone on the podium, signaling an end to the 15-minute trial and sentencing, Adam felt a tingle run down his spine. It would take all his skill, experience, and luck to get out of this one. And this was just the beginning of his latest challenge. A pair of huge, uniformed Noranin guards gripped him by the arms and lifted him off the floor as they herded him from the courtroom. They carried him through a side door and down a corridor leading to the holding cells. Adam had already spent a day and night in the cell, where he'd been subjected to various beatings even before being found guilty. It was pretty cut and dried on Noranin. If you killed a native, you were sentenced to death. There were very few circumstances where they considered the action justified, at least when it came to an alien killing a native. And the guards knew that. So they had their fun with him before Adam was paraded before the tribunal. Adam didn't mean to kill the native. He'd been running from the human bounty hunter at the time when Adam's human strength proved too much for the simple chokehold he applied to subdue him. The native died instantly from a broken neck. That happened often when an alien was subjected to human strength. Oops. Normally, Adam's actions would have been justified under the new laws of the Affiliation, a group of planets that subscribed to a uniform set of interstellar laws written by Unidor Security. The Noranin native was wanted on the planet Hyspira, and Adam was executing a legal fugitive recovery warrant. Unfortunately, Adam hadn't followed all the local procedures when registering as a recovery agent before going after the bounty. It was obvious now that those procedures were rigged to make it virtually impossible to register properly. As a result, when the native criminal died, he became a so-called innocent victim of alien aggression without cause or consequences. And Adam was immediately arrested and rushed before the tribunal. Are you an alien?
Yes.
Is the native dead?
Yes.
Guilty as charged.
It was that quick and that final. And now Adam was back in his cell, sitting on a hard cot and looking around at the other forlorn prisoners in the cells. Few were alert or even aware of what was happening in the cell block. There were 6 other aliens, all of different species and in various stages of recovery, from an assortment of beatings they'd endured during their 24 hours of captivity. Justice moved swiftly on Noranin, and Adam was sure the other prisoners were in shock over the sudden turn of events that suddenly found them wards of the alien state. Adam was the only one who seemed half awake and responsive, for what good it did him. He lay back on the cot, resigning himself to his fate. According to the guards, the bus would leave for Malx prison in 10 hours. It was best if Adam got some sleep. Who knew when he'd get another good night of rest? The morning came upon him before he knew it, with the prisoners rousted from their various stages of slumber by a metal rod running along the steel bars of the cells and sounding like a series of gunshots. The grinning guard enjoyed the startled and pensive stares he got from the prisoners, all of which were to begin the next phase of their miserable lives, the last stage any of them would ever experience.
None of the alien prisoners would ever leave the captivity of the Norannan justice system. There would be no pardons, no term served, no escape. The only way out of Malk's prison for Adam's class of prisoner was in a body bag. Of course, they didn't use body bags in Malk's. The bodies were usually ground up and fed to the other prisoners. After all, they were aliens, and by that time they would eat anything given to them. The only exception to this practice was if the carcass was disease-ridden. Then it would be burned in open pits that served as a reminder of what awaited the inmates. Adam was shackled and then herded aboard a gray bus, looking eerily familiar to those used on Earth. He was placed in a seat by himself and locked to the floor, with a seat, forward and back, left empty before other despicable piles of dejected flesh were shoved into place and similarly locked down. There was no talking, no defiance. The beatings the prisoners had suffered over the past few days had depleted them of even the will to live. And if they wished to end it all, that fate would be easily accommodated once they reached the prison. All they would have to do is look at another inmate cross-eyed, and they would get their wish. Surprisingly, there were windows in the bus, allowing Adam a 4-hour tour of the landscape in this part of Norannan. He'd done a little research on the planet before arriving on his bounty hunt, and knew the planet to be a medium-tech world, a former member of the Expansion with a 1,000-year history within the organization. What Adam found interesting is that the Norren, as they called themselves, had once ventured out to a neighboring star system a couple of 100 years before being discovered by the Jurians and brought into the Expansion. The neighboring system was only 3/4 of a light-year away, and the natives used an ionized gas propulsion system to crank their transit speeds up to a respectable percentage of the speed of light. They then used time dilation to send colonists to a near copycat world of their own, a place called Raos, settling a second world a few 100 years before the Jurians came and gave both planets gravity drive technology. Although the inhabitants of both planets were of the same genetic makeup, over the 1,000 years they were in the Expansion, each planet sought its own identity, even going so far as to compete with each other in all facets of their existence, including trade, economics, politics, and even militarily. The worlds were constantly engaged in minor military skirmishes, one of which recently ended with the capture of a high-ranking political leader from Raos. The landscape around the city was pleasant, with towering mountains covered in various native evergreens similar to pines and cedars. But then the terrain changed as they descended to a more arid environment until the bus was winding through barren hills in a high desert landscape. The massive Malk's prison was located close enough to the planet's capital to make it somewhat convenient, but still far enough away to not remind the natives of the filth that resided there. Like most of the other prisoners, Adam dozed for part of the 4 hours it took to get to the prison, but when a small patch of rough road woke him from his slumber, a terrible thought occurred to him. Looking around the interior of the bus, the problem became apparent. All the other prisoners were beaten up, with various cuts and bruises on their faces and arms. Their entire bodies would be branded with signs of the beatings, and when they were stripped down while being processed into the facility, their injuries would be out in the open for all to see. All except for Adam's. That was because Adam was nearly healed of all his injuries from the past 2 days, thanks to the rapid healing feature of the slow-motion cloning his body was still going through and had been for several years already. He never considered this ability to be a problem. Until now. What would the guards and other prisoners think when Adam was the only one of the new inmates without signs of a beating? Would they think he was a spy? A rat placed within the population for some nefarious purpose? Why did he escape the beatings when no one else was spared? Why was he special? The last thing Adam wanted was to be noticed. He just wanted to blend in with the other inmates and mind his own business. He wasn't looking for trouble. Adam Kane sighed deeply, knowing what he had to do. He wasn't looking forward to it, but it was the only way. He firmed his resolve and waited. The bus should be arriving at the prison in about 30 minutes. That was when it would happen. It was the only time it could.
Chapter 2. Malk's prison was a massive structure, much larger than Adam anticipated. It was of a circular design with two rings, a smaller two-story band surrounding a much larger multi-story ring whose major feature was the two towering pinnacles rising from its center and reaching easily 500 meters into the air. What they were for, Adam had no idea. They could be communication antennae, but that seemed like overkill, especially with the compactness of CW comms. Whatever their purpose, they gave the building a sinister look, blending well with the red-orange of the desolate terrain and the angular mountains rising on each side of a long valley heading away on the other side of the prison. A wide roadway led to the structure, surprisingly made of the same ruddy brown dirt as the surrounding desert. A steady stream of heavy native trucks was coming from and going to the prison. Finding such a large modern facility serviced by a dirt road was odd, but Adam shrugged off the incongruity. He had more important things to worry about. It was nearing that time, and he knew he was going to regret every damn minute of it. The bus moved through the outer ring and approached a gigantic set of gates anchored to each side of the inner ring. The gates were made of metal mesh and opened slowly as the vehicle approached. Steely-eyed native guards watched the bus as it slowly drove past, dark black eyes locked on Adam's attentive baby blues. The other prisoners were in no mood to survey their new home. Most remained hunched over in their seats, morose and defeated. The fact that Adam was looking out the window alerted the guards. This was out of the ordinary. Adam quickly looked away and assumed the same look of defeat as the others, hoping it wasn't too late. He didn't want to set off any alarms. Not until it was necessary. The Noren were tall creatures, as was the norm for most alien primes, reaching around 6'6" to over 7 feet on average. Their bodies were solid and stocky, with 5 fingers and an opposable thumb on each hand. Their heads were long and angular, with severely sunken cheeks and prominent cheekbones. Their dark eyes were huge and almond-shaped, slanted on their faces at a steep 45-degree angle, close at the nose and then angling up from there. The guards wore dark blue uniforms with orange stripes down their sleeves, and they had knit-like caps on their heads. Hash marks on the shoulders signified rank. Before the bus stopped, 2 guards were moving along the center aisle, unlocking the prisoners and allowing them to stand. Adam's seat was located about midway within the bus. He waited until the guard bent over and unlocked his leg shackles from the floor, and then with a sudden rush, he shoved the guard backward where he fell to the aisle floor. The other guard was upon him in an instant, his padded baton out and wailing away on Adam at full strength. The first guard jumped to his feet and angrily joined his partner. Adam was surprised at the ferocity of the hits. All he'd done was shove the guard. No damage was done. But it seemed as if the sentries were trying to kill him. Adam raised his still-shackled arms to cover his head while the rest of his body became fair game for the beating. The bus jerked to a stop and the door opened. 2 more guards ran in and began beating on the other prisoners. Why? Who knew? Because they could? The beatings went on for about 5 minutes before Adam and the others were dragged from the bus and thrown to the ground. Of the 10 prisoners, 9 survived. 1 of the smaller aliens didn't, his head covered in a mask of blood, his eyes still open in death.
It seemed the guards forgot who started the fight, but the job was done by then. Adam's body was sufficiently beaten to a pulp, allowing him to blend in with the others. And he was truly rattled from the pummeling. Even though his cloning produced a surge of adrenaline and healing power, the torture was severe, and it would take even Adam a few days to recover. Even so, he came out of the beating in a better mental state than the other prisoners. It took another 20 minutes before everyone had recovered enough so they could walk on their own. Adam was shoved through a wide security doorway and into a central processing room. He was groggy, and his left eye was swollen nearly shut. He observed the guards, expecting to see anger on their dark faces. Instead, there was humor. Even a few were laughing. They enjoyed the beating and the rough treatment of new arrivals. Adam figured this was normally a very boring routine. The beating was their form of entertainment. As expected, the 9 surviving prisoners were shoved into a cold, echoing room with tile walls and stripped of their clothing and shoes. Then cold streams of water were blasted at them. It wasn't as frigid as Adam expected, but it was still a shock to the system. Next came a coating of smelly green foam that burned his skin slightly. 2 prisoners fell to the floor, writhing in pain, before another blast of cold water rinsed the disinfecting foam away. The prisoners were then paraded into an adjoining room, where they were tossed coarse cloth towels and given a minute to dry themselves. The towels were confiscated before the naked aliens were led to the next room. Adam didn't feel self-conscious being naked with the other naked creatures. They were aliens, and even though they were all humanoid or prime, he felt about the same as being naked in front of a terrestrial dog. But what gave him confidence was that his body was just as bruised as all the others. If he hadn't staged his token rebellion aboard the bus, he would already have been pulled aside and questioned why he wasn't beaten like the others. In the next room, each prisoner was given a single-piece jumpsuit. They came in various sizes, well, 2, small and large. Even the small one hung off Adam like a blanket, the pant legs and sleeves 1 foot too long. Fortunately, the garments had elastic bands near the shoulders and around the waist, which allowed the excess fabric to be stuffed under and held in place by a form of alien Velcro. In the end, the jumpsuit fit fine. Some of the larger aliens were experiencing just the opposite. Even the large size barely closed across their barrel chest, and the pant legs came to mid-calf. But no one complained. They adjusted the clothing as best they could, and then slipped equally adjustable cloth booties over their bare feet. So far, none of the guards had spoken to the prisoners except to berate them into moving from room to room. There was no general greeting by the warden or a listing of the rules. Instead, Adam was handed a makeshift bedroll that included a coarse blanket, a thin pillow, another jumpsuit and booties, along with a mesh bag that looked to have a bar of alien soap in it and a tube of foaming gel. Adam knew the gel was a standard product used to rinse his mouth, since toothbrushes weren't allowed in Malk's prison. And then another door opened, and the prisoners were herded into the midday sun of Noranin and the main prison yard. Each of the new inmates looked around, questioningly, confused. Only Adam spoke up, asking the question on everyone's mind. "What now? Where are our cells?" A guard laughed as he turned to go back inside the processing center. "Find your own cells. This is all we are obligated to provide." He looked at another guard, and they both laughed some more. They knew what was coming for the fresh meat prisoners. With the others, Adam stood, dumbfounded, looking out across the vast, circular, dirt-covered prison yard. The space was huge and took up the central part of the massive inner ring. There were no obstructions, allowing him to see to the other side, about 200 meters away. Then he looked up. He'd been expecting the giant towers to be anchored to the ground at the center of the inner ring. They weren't. Instead, their bases arched over the prison yard, connecting with the rings. Then, continuing with his survey, Adam saw a circular catwalk 3 stories above the ground that overlooked the yard. Guards were there, either strolling or leaning against the railing in pairs, watching the prisoners. At that moment, Adam sensed that Malk's prison was more like a zoo than a prison. He could see no guards on the lower level, and none seemed anxious to visit. To the natives, alien inmates were entertainment, just as the earlier beatings had been. Below the catwalk was a 2-story section of the inner ring, and on the ground floor, a series of large open portals leading into the building. On the left side, several inmates were filtering in and out through the openings. These may be the cell blocks. There was also a series of portals on the right, but they were different. There were fewer inmates here and tighter security at the portals. And then across the prison yard was another set of portals, closed and looking more secure.
"Intimidating, is it not?"
The voice came from behind Adam. He was startled and spun around, mad at himself for not having enough situational awareness to know the alien was there. The creature was slight and short, about Adam's size. He wore the same jumpsuit as all the others, meaning he was an inmate like Adam. He was basic prime, but with a snout and moist black nose on the end of the muzzle. His long arms ended in cat-like hands. Undoubtedly, his unseen claws were retractable. The inmate stepped closer. Adam held his ground.
"I have been here 3 standard years, and I remember the moment when I was thrown into the yard for the first time, just as you are now. Fortunately, I had a sympathetic being give me knowledge. If you will allow, I can do the same for you. My name is Vaxen."
Adam sized up the creature. Being about Adam's size made Vaxen small for an alien, and the human didn't see him as a threat. In fact, he saw very few aliens as threats. Adam looked back into the yard.
"What is your name?" Vaxen inquired politely.
Adam remained silent.
"Please. We are both here for life. It would be good to have someone to talk to."
Reluctantly, Adam turned back to Vaxen.
"They call me the human." "Yes, I see that. I am familiar with humans. But what is your name? You do have separate names, as I understand."
"Just call me human. I'll answer to that." Vaxen laughed. A full laugh, showing double sets of sharp, cat-like teeth. He may be small, but Adam was sure he could hold his own in a fight.
"As you wish," the alien said. "Now that we have been introduced, what questions do you have? I may not have them all, but I have been here longer than you."
Adam lifted his arms a little, still holding the small bedroll. "Where do I put these? The guard said we pick our own cells? How does that work?"
"A perfect first question," Vaxen said enthusiastically. "Follow me. We will find you a cell."
The inmate set off toward the left side of the yard. Adam noticed that all the other newbie inmates had similarly hooked up with greeters. This seemed to be the routine for new arrivals. Maybe the prisoners of Malk's stuck together, them against the common enemy of the guards and the Noranan justice system. Adam didn't believe that, but he'd play along until he had more information. Vaxen talked while the pair walked.
"On the left are the cell blocks. On the right are the workstation entrances, if you decide and are selected to work. Just basic information. Each cell block has a feeding station. Feedings take place every 6 standard hours.
He laughed.
"But please note, the second and third feedings are usually when the larger, more aggressive inmates eat. For creatures like us, it is safer to attend the first or fourth sessions. You will learn. Now, the cell blocks.
Vaxen pointed at the first portal on the left and then began working his way along the series of six sections.
There is cell block Ganon, cell block Lys, cell block Orion, cell block Caspian.
Cell block Orion? Adam interrupted, stopping in his tracks.
Yes, cell block Orion.
Orion is a human word.
Why would Malk's prison have a cell block using a human word? Perhaps because that is where the other human lives.
There's another human here? Adam gasped. Who is it?
His name is Martinez. He is old, for truth, the oldest inmate in the blue section of Malk's. I do not know of the other sections, but among us, he is the oldest.
How long has he been here?
I do not know for sure.
The prison was built 20 years ago. He was one of the first to arrive.
He probably named the cell block, at least his.
He runs the cell block?
Vaxen laughed. Perhaps at one time, but not any longer.
Vaxen's face grew serious.
This is information you must take seriously. Within Malk's, there are three major tribes. Each has its chief. Members make up about a third of the population. The others, like me, are called freelers. We do chores for the tribes, and if we do enough, we might be asked to join.
There are advantages to being in a tribe? Adam asked.
Oh, yes. You receive protection provided by your fellow members. You can also feed at the best times, and without interference. And the work assignments pay better. There are others, but those are the major features. However,
Vaxen took Adam by the jumpsuit and pulled him in closer.
You must respect the territory of the tribes, especially if you join one. As freelers, most of us can move around the yard and the cell blocks. But once you join a tribe, you must be aware of where you go.
So much for the prisoners looking out for one another, Adam thought. This place was just like any other prison or social structure. Everyone went tribal at the first opportunity.
Now I will take you to cell block Orion,
Vaxen said, resuming his walk toward the wall of the ring.
You will be most comfortable there.
So, who assigns the cells? Is there someone like a hall monitor? Vaxen was confused by the question.
No.
There are no cameras within the cell blocks. I mean, is there a person who assigns the cells? Vaxen laughed.
No. You simply find an empty chamber and claim it for your own. And if that cell does not suit you, you may change.
The guards don't keep track of where we are in the prison? Vaxen took Adam by the wrist, displaying the thin plastic band that had been placed there by the guards.
This tells the guards where you are, if they care.
He waved his hand at the catwalk and the few watching guards.
The Naren rarely enter the yard or the cell blocks. They have no need. You will find, human, that they care not for our welfare. We all have been sentenced to life whenever that time comes. We could all kill each other and the guards would not care.
What about if we get sick or injured? Adam asked.
At one point he thought Malk's was like most prisons on Earth. In reality, this was much worse.
We have a few inmates with medical experience. We go to them for treatment.
They have equipment, medicines? Vaxen laughed. He was laughing at a lot of Adam's questions.
Some. As you work, you get credits, and you can go to the prison store for various items. Inmates purchase medicines and then trade them for services. The doctors also buy certain things they need. But please realize, my human friend, This is not anywhere near quality.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?